Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is July 1st, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the big book. We're continuing in the chapter, How It Works. And we are on page 68. We'll be reading and commenting on paragraph 2, which begins with, perhaps there is a better way. Today's readers are Minette M. for the 12 steps, Rosalia P. for the 12 traditions, Ellen D., Nancy L., Mary B. is going to greet our newcomers at the end of the meeting, and Robin P. will, and also get numbers from available sponsors. And Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, June 30th is 17257. That's 17,257. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17265. That's 17,265. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Minette M. to please read those 12 steps.
Hello, everyone. This is Monette, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Oklahoma. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Minette M. And Rosalia P. is going to read the 12 traditions for us. Thank you, Rosalia.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Rosalia P., and I'm in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our good purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rosalie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a nice quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please use star 1 to do that. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 68 in How It Works. And we are reading and commenting on paragraph 2. And I'm going to ask Ellen to read and comment on that for us first. Thank you. Ellen D.
Hi, this is Ellen D., recovered in Texas. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. Thank you for your service, Elaine, and letting me serve on this meeting. So it says, perhaps there's a better way. Well, for me, there's no perhaps. There's definitely a better way. And, it's referring to the previous paragraph about self-reliance. And so the better way for me today is God-reliance. And on page 164, it says, my real reliance is always on him. And we just read in the agnostics that it just takes a simple reliance. And so I'm glad it's not complicated. And for me, this paragraph is really like a gentle reminder from my higher power. Sometimes when I'm reading it, it's like I hear him whispering, hey, Ellen, remember, there's a better way. You know, you're on a different basis now, remember? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I can't do it when I'm in self-reliance. It always fails. I always fail when I do that, but there's a better way. And I just love that. I love to reread this in the paragraph before and after it when I'm dealing with fear and when I'm doing a 10-step. It's just so, like, I just feel like it's so sweet and such a nice reminder that, oh, yeah, I'm on a different basis. And I'm here to play the role he assigns. I find that comforting. He has a role for me. And it's not me being the actor trying to run the whole show, making messes in my life and other people's lives. And so I get to practice that in this program. And then I can humbly rely, and then I'll have serenity for the calamity in life, which, you know, calamity is going to happen. It's just the way it is. But I can learn to humbly rely. And humility was something I didn't have much of. I think that's one of the reasons I really needed to do a 12-step program. And it's just, I'm just so grateful because this has really worked for me. And so I'm just going to keep doing it, relying on God and, doing the better way. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. Great kickoff to a powerful paragraph shares. So although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Bruce E.
Bruce
Jody
E.
Jody E.
Maureen S.
Maureen S.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Liz S.
Liz S. Anybody else?
Jordan L.
And Jordan L. Lovely. Great lineup. I've got Bruce E., Jody E., Maureen S., Bonnie B., Liz S., Jordan L., and you all did it so graciously that I can actually read my writing. Thank you so much. Bruce E., you are up next first, and then Jody E. will follow you. Please share with us.
Hello. Hi, good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered in Southwest Florida. And this is all on fear here. And then we get the fear prayer coming up next. And previous page, we had the sick man's prayer concerning the resentment. I wanted to comment on that, but didn't make it. So glad to be able to comment on this fear. Because I just absolutely lived my life in fear. I was overcome with it for long periods of time. And that's where it talks about here. I think perhaps there's a better way. We think so. There's a better way than living in fear. That's what there's a better way than living in fear. So what is the better way than living in fear? Well, to trust God. And so I got to do something different, right? And then I just can't give up fear and then that's it. I got to do something. So the action plan is to trust God instead of living in this fear and this projecting. And oh, what a terrible way that is to live. I never accomplished anything doing that. It froze me up, couldn't make correct decisions. It was a tough one. We trust infinite God rather than finite selves. So God is forever. He's infinite. He has all the power and all the authority and all the everything, knowledge, and I am so limited. And here I'm trusting in myself with all these limits when I could be trusting in infinite God who has everything. And it says here, so we are in the world to play the role he assigns. So he's got something for me to do. He's got things for me to do. That's probably to help somebody. Today, tonight, this afternoon, you know, he's got people around me that he wants me to help. So that's the role that he assigns. My wife wants me to help my wife and not give her a ration, not give her a rough time, you know, just try to help my wife. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us. So I got to take this thing to an extent that he would have me do this and humbly rely upon him, on him. Does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? And I've always thought, life was such a disaster. How could I ever match that disaster with serenity? How could serenity be of equal or higher value in my life than calamity? Well, it just says here, you can match it. You know,
reminder.
Thank you very much. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Jody E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Maureen S. Please go ahead, Jody.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., recovering in California. This is one of my very favorite paragraphs in the book. I have it highlighted and underlined and starred and flowered. It says that we are in the world to play the role he assigns. I didn't know that for a very long time. I thought I was in the world to play the role that I assigned to myself. I didn't know that I was supposed to seek God's will for my life. So I had all these ideas and mostly wasn't able to make them come true. And this book teaches me how to live. And when I found this program, I knew I had found what I needed in life. Guidelines for life. Well, this is a guideline to seek the will of God for my life. And just to the extent that I do that I surrender my will and seek God's will, trying to do that to the best of my ability, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity? I bring calamity on myself. When I eat compulsively, certainly, but even also if I'm abstinent, when I seek to do my will rather than God's will. So I need to try to align my will with God's will, and together, God and I can do good things. Maybe not great things, maybe not power and fame and wealth. I don't need that. I need serenity. That's what I need. And I need to be, I can get serenity by being humble and calmly and quietly trying to help other compulsive overeaters and other people who come across my path. And that's enough. That's enough for me today, for which I am grateful. And with that, I pass.
Oh my goodness. Hi. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I got muted. So this is Elaine B. And Maureen S., you're up next to share with us. And Bonnie B. will be followed, will follow you. Please go ahead, Maureen S.
Thank you so much, Maureen here. Really grateful for this meeting. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. This paragraph really, really has blessed me today. I'm sorry, I'm kind of like in a really deep, good mental place thinking about the instructions that this little paragraph give me, and they're so important because I so often think that I have to figure everything out, and I don't. And if I just listen to the directions in this big book, I do have serenity. When I put down my drug of choice, which is food, I have so much serenity. And for me, it just has to start just one moment at a time. And I'm abstinent today, and I'm so grateful. When I'm reading this, the part that really speaks to me so much is it says we do, so that's like an action word to me. We do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him. So it doesn't say I have to write like a 25-page paper trying to figure out what he would have me do. I overthink things, and that's just, I think, just the addict in me that just wants to continue to use. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us. To me, that says, okay, pause, set aside my own selfishness, and what do I think he wants me to do, and then do it. I don't have to analyze it for the entire day, and when I do that, it's usually because I'm stalling. And I'm being selfish, and I just need to do what I think he would have me do. And that doesn't really sound that complicated. If I can just trust in him, that's the other big key that just really helps me with, is trusting in him. I just have to trust him. And for me, I can't do that when I'm in my drug of choice, though. It's amazing to me how when I just say, okay, I'm going to be abstinent today and I'm not going to use food as my drug of choice, and I know when I'm doing that, and it's very apparent, then the big book ministers to me and I have that serenity. For me, if I'm in the food, though, I don't have the clarity. So I'm just grateful. Sorry if I'm mumbling a little bit. I'm newly abstinent and just so grateful, and I'm just soaking all this up like a sponge. And thank you so very much. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so very much, Maureen S. It was great. Appreciate you being here and sharing. Okay, Bonnie B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Liz S.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for all the amazing shares. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Oh, yeah, I say this every time I share, which isn't all that frequently, but every single paragraph is just jam-packed, full of truth. So we're talking about fears. And when I came into program, I would have said I don't have many fears. Oh, that is not the truth. I am loaded with fears as I dig deep. And when it talks about perhaps there's a better way, I think to myself, what is that better way? What's the better way? As a woman of faith, I would have said I had a lot of faith. And the opposite of fear is faith, or that's what I've always said. And yet, as I dig deep, I realize I have all these fears inside of me. And the fears were all connected to self-reliance. And the self-reliance was connected to I have to do, ... fill in the blank. It was always about having to show up, having to perform, having to look a certain way. And as I just lay all this out before the Lord, what I'm coming to understand is that it's not about doing, it's about being. It's about showing up. The things that jumped out at me initially were perhaps there's a better way, and then my eyes went right to the very end. He will enable us. And so there's all this stuff in the middle, but if I'm willing to look to him and ask him for a better way, he promises he's going to show me. As someone else shared a little bit ago, it's an educational thing. It doesn't happen all at once. That doesn't play well into my addictive, compulsive nature. I want it fixed now. I want to show up and I want to get it perfect and I want it to look right and I want to do A to Z and have it done. And it just doesn't always work that way. And so, again, I'm having to rely upon God for something that only he can give me. And day by day, as I bring my program before him and just trust him to do what only he can do and keep my eyes fixed upon him and be mindful of the fact that the ultimate goal is to give maximum service to him and to others. And the only way I can do that is by staying inside my hula hoop, which is, you know, my hula hoop has me, my Savior, my program, and my thoughts, and trusting him to direct the rest. That's where my peace is at. And so, grateful for revelation, grateful for change, grateful for the program, and super grateful for each of you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I hope you guys all have a blessed day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. Awesome. Okay, Liz S., you are up next, followed by Jordan L. Please go ahead, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire, and this is really one of my very favorite forums because I've had so many fears over so many different things, and I'm actually referring to the Big Book fear form itself. And the last column has been remarkable for me because it says, "What would God have you be?" And there have been innumerable times when I've started off with the word Liz, and I went, I'm not writing to myself, and I find that the writing is coming from somewhere else. And it's literally coming from God, because what I end up writing is my higher power is writing to me. And it's literally a message that comes from that God within, which Bill talks about all the time. And it's very, very moving and special and quite wonderful, because I literally get directions on most of my fears. And I can learn from these directions. I can understand many of them are very comforting, very, I learn that many of my fears are not dangerous and awful and horrible. I'm not going to be harmed. I'm not going to be hurt. Sometimes there are fears that are viable, but I can't live in them. And I come away from this this entire inventory with incredible relief and also feeling as though I am somehow protected and I am connected. And it's just when almost every single fear begins with Liz, I know, again, that I'm not writing it out from my perspective. It's coming from some other perspective that's not me. And that's the most incredible thing. And, you know, in the same way that I give away all these resentments, I give away my fears. They're not mine anymore. And that to me is truly something of a miracle, because they've been plaguing me for so long and I give them away. And while they may still shadow in my life to some extent, for the most part, they're gone. They're not mine anymore. And if they come up again, I can pray the fear prayer and ask that they be lifted. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz S. Excuse me. Jordanelle is up next. And just before she shares, I'd like to let you all know that we are commenting on the first paragraph on page 68 in the chapter, How It Works. We're commenting on paragraph 2, which begins with, perhaps there is a better way, and there sure is. So look forward to hearing your shares about on that after we hear from Jordan L. So please go ahead, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Thank you for moderating this morning and leading us in this meeting. I got the wrong assignment. So I got to say, I am not one who came to this program and wanted to be a better person or get in touch with God or any of that stuff. That was like, it just wasn't my gig, you know? At least that's what I thought, right? I thought my assignment was to be a little more rock and roll and not so charitable and not any of these qualities of a good person or a godly person, if you will, right? I wasn't thinking about that stuff at all. What I was thinking about is that, I didn't want to continue to destroy myself with food, you know? It had gotten really, really out of control. And so I was really excited when I got here and I heard people talking about being recovered. I didn't know that you could recover from this. I had absolutely no idea. and so I was stoked about that. And they talked about some pretty deep, dark places that the food had brought them, you know? And I was able to get on board pretty quickly. And I didn't question the other stuff they were talking about, helping other compulsive overeaters and giving of themselves and their time and stuff like that. I wasn't ready for that, you know, until I got to step 12, until I worked through these steps and I started to understand that it wasn't up to me to decide the assignment anymore, you know. If I wanted to stay abstinent for any considerable period of time, for any length of time, whether that's the rest of my life or not, I was going to have to stop making the assignments. and I was going to have to let God do that, you know? I don't do this
just
perfectly.
A reminder.
I still take my first, second, and third step every single morning, and I don't do it perfectly. But that humbly rely, that becomes more and more of a reality the longer I stay here. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan L. Okay, and though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to, please press star 1 to unmute. And again, we're commenting on page 68, paragraph 2. Perhaps there is a better way. Who'd like to comment?
Hi, I'm Imelda. I'm a couple of people.
Okay, I heard Nadia, and that's it.
Imelda. Imelda.
Cheryl S.
Imelda. Okay.
Yes.
And Cheryl S.
Sharon C.
Sharon C. Anybody else? I've got Nadia B. Oh my gosh. Imelda, I believe it's
Imelda.
Imelda,
S.
Imelda. What a pretty name. Imelda, and that was S, I think, right?
No, T.
Oh, T, okay. And Cheryl S and Sharon C. And anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay. We'll have room for another share or two possibly after this. Okay. Don B. Thank you, Don B. Okay. So Nadia B, you're up next, followed by Imelda T.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, everybody here, for your service just by being here. You're helping me to live a better way. Perhaps there is a better way. I forgot to say, this is Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. Fears. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. You know, I didn't know, you guys, that I even had fears before I came to this program. I didn't know a lot of things. I didn't know that I had emotions. I didn't even know how to deal with them. I didn't even know how to name them. And that's how, you know, emotionally undeveloped I was for my age. And so I didn't have a better way to deal with anything in life. My only solution became, walking to the fridge or the pantry or the grocery store or, you know, any kind of store, you know, that sold my solution. And there was no better solution for me. I didn't know it existed until I realized that in abstinence, I didn't know there was a better solution until I realized that I had to do this work of what? Like the work of 12 steps. And this is, we are here on step 4, and we're taking inventory. We are reviewing. This is where I've become aware of my fears, that I actually had them, and that it was normal to have them, and that it didn't mean that, I couldn't ever have faith. It just meant that, you know, I didn't even know there was self-reliance. I didn't know how to trust. I didn't know that there was God, and I have to, you know, come clean to you guys. My biggest fear is that there is no God. There's nobody there that cares for me and will help me. And sometimes that fear pops up, and it doesn't mean that I do not trust. It just means that I am so human, and I still need God, right? And therefore, I can speak to God. I can reach out to God, right? I can step in my role of being just a human being and let God be God. And I can be Nadia. Very human, very needy. That's my timer. And I learned to trust through the work of the 12 steps. And, and I just want to tell you guys, this works. This is a miraculous program. It's not, magical, but it is miraculous. So thank you, God, for 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia B. Good to hear you. Okay, so Amalia, can you tell me how you spell your name, please? Amalia T, I believe it is.
It's spelled I M as in mom, E L D as in David, A, Imelda.
Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles, California.
Oh, awesome. Please share with us.
Hey, hi, good morning. I am a returning member and struggling and crawling and staggering back to program, but I do have a sponsor. So she's Vision for You meeting, she mentioned, and something I haven't done in a while. So it's good to start off the morning with a big book study. And the paragraph, if there was a word that immediately stood out to me, was perhaps. And for me, there's no perhaps. There is no better way. My way just doesn't work. I didn't find my answers out in the street. And it just got me in a very severe, heavy-duty relapse. And it's just funny because I think the more and more I was practicing my disease, in the back of my mind, I kind of always knew that it was, there was fear involved. And it was almost like I didn't know why I was practicing my disease. It just gets very confusing. It's a cunning, baffling, you know, vicious disease, you know, that many of the times I thought I understood it and that I understood what was happening, but not really. Sometimes I discovered that, no, I don't know what, I don't know. I don't know my disease that well because my disease is very, it's very vicious, you know, it's evil. It's, yeah, it wants to get me. And so it did. And it got me from a different angle. And I was in my disease. And when I'm in my disease, I check out, I lose sight of God, and I'm just not available to anybody. I'm certainly not going to call and make a and do a meeting. So no, my way doesn't work. And I was in tremendous fear. One thing that I did notice when I was in my disease was that I always had to keep turning back when I'm walking, like looking around. And it's funny because it's fear. I fear of what's around me. I fear of what may pop out on me. Like I always have to be watching my back. So I could kind of like compare that when I have a program and I have God in my life and I'm better centered and not self-centered, I feel like more safe, more at calm, more at ease, and my food doesn't get so wacko. And so anyway,
gentle reminder.
Share that. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that and say it out loud that, you know, I'm still a compulsive overeater today. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Imelda T. And I encourage you to stay on and share your number at the end of the line when we introduce newcomers. And I'd say that of all newcomers, it's great to get some outreach calls. So thank you so much for sharing today. And Cheryl S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sharon C. Star one to unmute, please, Cheryl. I think I heard a Cheryl S. on the list, but maybe I was dreaming.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, here we are. Thank you, Cheryl. Please go ahead.
Yay. Cheryl S., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicagoland. And this verse just reminds me, I have had, or this paragraph rather, it just reminds me that I've had a lot of fear in my life lately. I have an upcoming surgery, had stuff going on, we all do. And as I was going through that fear, I was asked, you know, what is God saying to you right now? And the scripture, "Be still and know that I am God," is what came through. And sorry, I'm getting emotional. I was doing a little bit of studying on that afterwards and realized that the word "be still," the word that was used in the translation, could also be considered surrender. And so that gives it a whole new context, right? Surrender and know that I'm God. And to me, it just hit home because I need to surrender those fears daily. I need to let them go and just give them to Him, because fear doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't give me anything. It just causes suffering and pain that I don't need. And the end result is the same. It's not my stuff anyway. It's all up to our higher power. It's all up to God. And all the fear in the world that I place on things doesn't change the outcome. So daily surrendering and knowing that God has this. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl S. from Illinois. Sharon C., you're up next, followed by Dawn B. Please go ahead, Sharon C. Star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. This is Sharon C. in Louisville, Kentucky, recovering compulsive eater, one day at a time. I need a daily reminder of the condition of my relationship with God. I can depend on God for all my needs and guidance. The way I show up to worship God through prayer, meditation, and service is the way I imitate my Lord Jesus Christ. He is there to lighten my load and bring me serenity and abstinence. Through His grace, I daily seek a reprieve from my insanity, from the committee that harasses my mind with self-will, fear, and anxiety. Clarity, love, and direction are my reward, and I am blessed as I surrender. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon C. Okay, we have time for, I think, two more shares. And we've got Dawn B next. So after Dawn B, we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares. So please go ahead, Dawn. Sorry about that. Don't want to miss you.
Oh, no worries.
Thank you.
That's okay. Yeah, this is Dawn B, and I'm recovered in Southern California, and it is great to be here today. Wow, perhaps there is a better way. We think so. So now when I'm going through my daily life, what my job is to seek my higher power's will for me. So God being my new director, my new employer, I'm going to be pausing before I go into interactions with my family members. And before I let my thinking run away with me, I'm pausing and asking, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And it says in the big book on page 85, these are thoughts which must go with us constantly. So this is what we're practicing. This is what I'm practicing throughout the day. This is my job. This is my work. And when I do pause and ask my higher power, how would you have me handle this situation? What would you have me say here, God? Help me to see this situation more like you see it. Help me to see this person more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. I pause and I ask God for guidance. And it says, for we are now on a different basis. So I'm no longer on the basis of my knee-jerk reactions, saying what I usually say, going down my usual routines of interacting with people. Now I'm on the basis of trusting and relying on God. It's just relaxing to even say that. I trust infinite God rather than my finite self. So now I'm relying on God's abilities, not my abilities. I'm relying on God to give me the script, God to give me the words, not on my usual words that I say. and I'm pausing and I'm asking God for those words. I'm now in the world to play the role he assigns, so I abandon my usual way of interacting, and I'm seeking now, how would you have me be in this situation? How would you have me act? Help me to be in the situation as you would delight in me being in this situation. There is a better way, and I'm seeking that higher way, God. Your way, not my way. Just to the extent that I do as he thinks, as I think he would have me, and humbly rely on him, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity? I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams right now, not because my circumstances has changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through this program and the working of the steps. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Dawn B. Okay, so we have time for, I'm going to say, one more share, give a little extra moment for people to leave their numbers. So would anybody like to comment on page 68, paragraph 2, perhaps there is a better way? Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share. Well, you know what? Nobody's stepping up, so I'm going to take this opportunity to share on this because this is one of the life-changing things that has happened to me, and I wouldn't normally do this as a moderator, but this is the hinge pin of my life every day. Am I trusting and relying on my finite self, or am I trusting and relying on the infinite God? You know, every single resentment has a fear tied to it, and so when I write down what my fears are, I get to take it through this fear inventory, because perhaps there's a better way than living in fear and all the self-seeking, selfish behaviors that I had to try to cope with the very real threat to my character instincts that God gave me, like self-esteem and ambitions, personal and sex relations, et cetera, et cetera. There's always a fear involved. So I have to learn to trust infinite God rather than my finite self, my little symbol full of understanding and wisdom and knowledge. I can pair that with the endless, unlimited, infinite supply of God who knows everything about everybody, past, present, and future. So I'm just going to leave it at that and see if we want to open up for one two-minute share. Would anybody like to take a two-minute share before we close the meeting?
This is Deanne F. in New York. I'll take it.
All right, Deanne, go for it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, wow. First of all, Elaine, I just want to say Elaine has taught me so much about faith. And I just want to point out that, you know, this book is the most loving invitation. You know, it doesn't say there is a better way. It says perhaps. It just asks us to open our minds that there may be a better way. It doesn't dictate that there is one. I can only say that for myself, yes, there is a better way, because what I learned about fear from another wonderful teacher in my life is that all of fear for me is tied to the outcome. That if I take every single fear out to its furthest point, that's the outcome. And that is why I have the fear, because I'm afraid it's not going to be my way. And so what I pray for every day is that I surrender to God's way. And that is what a privilege that I have, that I can do today, is to ask to have God's way and not mine. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Deanne F. All right. Wow. Thank you, everybody who has shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And so will Nancy L. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I